and gentlemen, and welcome to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz, and I'm here with Alfa Lopez, and you know who she is. Alfa, for 18 years, was a producer and radio host for The Mega and for Hola, and she's going to be accompanying me here to present to you a wonderful person that we want you to meet today, okay? Let me give you like a hint of who she is, but then she's going to come out and she's really, really, really sick. Marcia Marixa Robiu is a documentary filmmaker and investigative reporter. She was Frontline's 2022 Hollyhock filmmaker in residence and worked on a documentary about the Minneapolis Police Department, Police on Trial. She contributed to Whose Vote Counts, the recipient of the 2020 Peabody Award. Oh, Marcia, whoa, that's good. And 2020 NABJ Award as a senior reporter and field producer. Marcia's early work includes Right to Fail, which won a Deadline Club Award, and Separated Children at the Border, which received the 2018 Peabody Award and an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Politics and Government Documentary in 2018. Marcia joined Frontline as an Abrams Journalism Fellow in 2018. Prior to becoming a filmmaker, she spent nearly a decade as a humanitarian worker in Myanmar, South Sudan, Kenya, and Iraq. During this period, she produced several short films, including The Jungle Surgeon of Myanmar, for Al Jazeera Witness. Marcia holds a master's degree from Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism and was born in the U.S. to Dominican parents. Marcia, welcome to Charla Comunitaria. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias. Thank you so much for having me and for that lovely introduction.
Now, Marcia, I want you to tell me in your own words, who is Marcia Marixa Robiu?
Yes, thank you. So, as you said, I'm a documentary filmmaker and producer. I was born to Dominican parents in Newark, New Jersey, and have been living in New York City for a very long time now. And I worked as an aid worker, as you mentioned, in war zones for several years before becoming a filmmaker. And in addition to that, I love to cook. I love to travel. And I'm just a generally curious person, which is one of the reasons why I became a filmmaker and a journalist.
That's awesome, Marcia. I'll have Alpha if she has anything that she wants to ask you first.
She mentioned to be curious, but curious about what? And besides that, what are you taking from that, and also what are you giving to the community when it comes to be involved in that kind of documentary investigation and all the things that you do?
Yeah, thank you for that. So, you know, I grew up with this idea that you need to support your community. You have to give back to your community. My father, he started this organization where he helped provide loans to small minority businesses, mainly Latino businesses. And this was in the 80s and 90s when it was really hard for Latinos, Black people to get a loan from a bank. You know, so I spent a lot of time with my father at his office as a kid. And it's something he always told me, you have to give back to your community. You have to give back to your people. Whatever you end up doing, make sure you do that. And so I always had this sense of like civic responsibility in me. And that sort of led to me doing the work I did as a humanitarian worker. But I always loved film. You know, I come from a film loving family. We would always go to the movies. I wanted to find a way to bring those two worlds together. And documentary filmmaking seemed like the best way to do that, to be able to produce films that can support the community, empower my community, but also have it be, yeah, a bit of a celebration of our community as well.
Wonderful. Why the 2024 Voices? What is it that you wanted to to take to the community? What is it that you want to show us through this documentary?
So, you know, I had a lot of conversations with the director and the other producer, Andres Seidel, as to what we wanted to achieve with this film. You know, an hour is not a long time to talk about Latino voters in the United States. It's a very big topic. And considering how diverse we are as a people, you know, when it comes to politics, racial background, religion, everything, we wanted to make sure that no one really felt left out and that we were being representative of the Latino experience as much as we could in 1 hour. And so I think one big goal for us was to just, and it may seem very basic and self-evident, but I think it's important and bears repeating, is that, you know, we are not a monolith. Latino voters in the U.S. are not a monolith. And a lot of times we get treated that way. You know, you see headlines, what do Latino voters think? And that was one main goal, is that we wanted to really show the nuance and diversity within the Latino electorate and see what that really looks like from, you know, Allentown, Pennsylvania to, you know, the Midwest, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to places that are more known for their Latino community, like California and Arizona. But, you know, Latinos in Pennsylvania don't really get that much attention on the national scale, even though they hold so much political power and the population is increasing so rapidly in Pennsylvania. So I think the first goal was just showcasing the nuance and diversity. And then the second is, you know, showing what topics, what issues are most important to Latino voters across the country.
And it's amazing because we were, on Saturday, we were in a little group and we were discussing that. And you know what? There was a question that came in and this person shocked me. Because I wasn't expecting that, you know, like, because people think that they have the Latino vote in the back of their pockets. And, you know, and that offends me because we are very different people and we're good thinkers. You know, we don't fall in traps so easily. And people think that we don't do that. And we do. We take it very, very serious, the vote.
I would like to ask you a question. You just mentioned about the documentary educating the Latino community about voting 2024. As you mentioned, an hour is not enough, but within that hour, what are you expecting those voters to take from your documentary?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's really, really important. You know, throughout the year, I've been speaking to Latino voters across the country, and something that really came across for me is that, and again, I don't want to generalize on Latino voters, but something I heard consistently is that they want common sense policy. They want to know exactly what policy each candidate is advancing, and they're tired of the extreme rhetoric from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. And that's something that I've seen in a lot of polling, national polling too, is that Latinos, for the most part, are very common sense voters, very practical voters, and they don't tend to fall into these traps on either side of the spectrum. They want to know exactly, what are you going to do for us? You know, we want the details. So I found that very interesting, where there seemed to be more that united us as voters, if there could be anything, then divided us. And in terms of the takeaway, you know, beyond showing like the nuance within our community, is one, you know, I think you had mentioned no party can take the Latino vote for granted, especially this election cycle. The candidates really are going to have to earn it. And this is an election where Latino voters, it seems like they will be decisive, as in that they will decide the future of this country in November 2024. And pollsters who've been looking at the Latino vote for years they're saying this for the first time in the November 2024 election that Latinos will be like decisive. So we have a lot of power in this upcoming election cycle. And so we need to use it wisely. I think that's one. And the second is, you know, this there is concern with misinformation. And it comes up every election cycle. But this cycle seems really aggressive with the lies, mainly in not mainly, but there's a lot of lies that are targeting Latinos and in Spanish language this election cycle. One big one is that Democrats are allowing undocumented people into the country so they can vote in November, which is not true. But, you know, there was a poll earlier this year that found 41% of Latinos thought this was true. And so, you know, a reason for this is a lot of Latinos, my family included, they get their news from YouTube, which is not verified, not fact-checked like a lot of other outlets. And so we just need to be careful as to, you know, where we get our news from, especially as we get closer to the election, because there is a lot of misinformation going around.
And I think educating our Latino voters is so important in that aspect, because they tend to get, you know, the news from, you know, anywhere that they could find it, Facebook especially, which is not a good place to have any news taken. Yeah. But, you know, that's where, right. they're mostly. So that's why we wanted to bring you in and to kind of give us that perspective on this. I know that that we would love to have more and more time with you. And we understand that this is crucial for our Hispanic voters this year, because I think the respect is already there, because people now understand that we are not to be taken for granted, and that more of our representation should be in there, because sometimes, you know, they use us for something, but then we're not represented. We have to be also represented in Harrisburg or in everywhere, that here in Pennsylvania as well. So that we have our voice there as well, and we're able to protect our fellow Latinos and be a voice for those who do not have one. And that those are the ones that are, you know, the ones that are suffering the most, the ones that don't have a voice, and we are their voice. So we have to be very careful so we're able to protect them as well. Alpha, if you have anything.
My next question for Marsha is, when we talk about Latinos in general, this election, there are people that for sure they know who they're going to vote for it. And there are another group of people that are saying, well, I'm not going to vote. Nothing is going to change. My vote is not important. How can we impact these people and change their mindset when it comes to voting?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few ways. One, there are people in this country who will not be able to vote in November. It may be because they are undocumented or they have a felony in their history. And so I've spoken to a lot of people who said, you know what, I don't want to vote, but I'm going to vote on behalf of my cousin, because, you know, he's unable to, he's undocumented, and I'm worried about him. And so I think that's something we weren't really able to include too much in the film, but the power that people who are unable to vote have in the political process is still strong. There are people who are undocumented who are organizing within their communities to exert their influence on the elections, telling their family members, you know, I know you don't want to vote, you don't like either candidate, but please vote for me because I can't vote and I want to stay in this country, or, you know, whatever. So I think that's important. And the second is, especially if this Latino's in Pennsylvania, your vote definitely matters. The margin of victory was so thin in Pennsylvania in 2020. I think it was 80,000 votes. There's about 615,000 Latinos who are eligible to vote in Pennsylvania in November. So as you can see, you know, if all Latinos came out to vote, you can decide how Pennsylvania will vote in November. and Pennsylvania is one of the key battleground states. So especially in Pennsylvania, every vote matters. Something else that I think is important is that it's not all about the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Local representation matters too. I know in Philadelphia, there's been a lot of conversation about Latino representation on the city council level, for example, that there's not enough. So when you go to vote in November, presidential election is important, but there's so many down ballot races that will directly impact your day-to-day life. And it's important to vote for that as well and to be informed of what's happening. And something I hear a lot is, oh, yes, I'm here, but I'm going to go back to Puerto Rico. I'm going back to Santo Domingo in 5 years,
yep.
6 years, 10 years. And it's like, sure, we're all going to go back. My parents went back, you know, to Santo Domingo. But you're here now. You know, you're driving on the road in Philadelphia now. You know, you're paying taxes in the U.S. now. So you need to vote.
We do have a long way to go before we get there, Marcia. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Marcia, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's valuable time. And we in such a short time, we were able to discuss so much. And we are very, very thankful to you. And I'm also thankful to Alpha for her wonderful intervention here with me as well. Thank you. And I hope that this year you get an Emmy. And you come back to us and you let us know so we will have you here. You're welcome here in Charla Comunitaria anytime. We're trying to get our Latinos up and running and telling them, look, go out and vote. Don't miss that opportunity.
Yes.
There's others that don't have the privilege. Take advantage of that privilege. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you for listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz.
Thank you to the members of WDIY for making all the programming you hear possible. Becoming a WDIY member is the best way to support your listening and to ensure WDIY will be here for the next person in our community to discover. Make your membership gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 4 or wdiy.org. We couldn't be here without you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz. Y tengo un inmenso privilegio. Estoy aquí con la única, la número uno. Yo soy fanática de ella.
Ay, qué linda.
Se llama Alpha López. Señoras y señores, un aplauso para Alpha.
¡Oh! Ella tan bella. Muchas gracias, gracias, gracias por esos aplausos y esa admiración y ese cariño de siempre, Aurea. Gracias.
Bien, si voy a aprender de alguien, de ella es que quiero aprender, ¿ok? Estamos aquí porque Alpha... ¿Para qué yo lo voy a decir? Deja que ella hable, porque ella es mi invitada. Alpha, habla tú, dime a ti y lo que has hecho hasta ahora, bueno, dónde has estado, etcétera, etcétera. Dime, que el público quiero saber.
El público, bueno, que me conoce, bueno, me conoce mi voz y me conoce ya por años de labor, ¿no?, que hice trabajando en La Ola, Ola Radio y luego Mega. Y en el 2021, pues, decidí tomarme un tiempo fuera de los medios de comunicación, integrarme un poquito más lo que son las redes sociales. Y me fui a vivir a la Florida, pero ya estoy de regreso. Estoy de regreso desde marzo y empecé a trabajar en una compañía, que es lo que quiero compartir con nuestra gente desde abril.
Perfecto. Alpha nos va a hablar. Ahora mismo ya está trabajando en la compañía, se llama All American Home Care.
Correcto.
Alpha, ¿de qué se trata? ¿Cuáles son los servicios que tiene All American Home Care que tú puedes ofrecer acá en Lehigh Valley?
Cuando esta compañía se acerca a mí, yo que amo a mi gente, quería, si iba a regresar a los medios o regresar a un lugar que le diera un servicio a nuestra comunidad. Y el servicio de Home Care tiene una información errónea e incorrecta para nuestros ancianos, nuestras personas discapacitadas también, que puedan ser elegibles de 21 años en adelante. Lo que hace All American Home Care es proveer servicios de cuidados en el hogar. Cuando digo que hay mucha información incorrecta, me refiero a que cuando la gente oye home care, piensan que lo van a llevar a un asilo de ancianos, que lo van a llevar a un home y que se van a despegar de su entorno. Y es todo lo contrario. El servicio de home care es justamente y precisamente para que usted continúe siendo funcional dentro de su comunidad, en la comunidad que usted está acostumbrado a ir a la bodeguita de la esquina, al supermercado, a la iglesia, al hospital que usted siempre va, y ser funcional dentro de su hogar, dentro de su casa, que pueda seguir viendo sus programas de bochinche, que pueda seguir viendo su telenovela, y que un miembro de su familia, si tiene la posibilidad, sea el encargado de cuidarle a usted o la agencia le puede proveer a alguien que lo cuide. Si es una o el otro, si es un familiar, sería lo ideal porque es alguien que lo conoce, alguien que lo quiere, que lo va a cuidar con todo el amor del mundo, pero recibiría pagos para cuidarlo a usted.
Eso suena interesante porque tú sabes una cosa. Si yo hubiese tenido esos servicios antes cuando mi mamá estaba acá viva, pues fuera un poco más fácil porque entonces muchas personas pasan trabajo, están trabajando, no saben, Dios mío, ¿ahora con quién dejo a mi mamá o con mi papá?
Sí.
A mi hijo, yo tengo un hijo también que tiene un disability. Tú sabes, ¿cómo ellos entonces pueden conseguir esa información? ¿Cómo ellos pueden aplicar? No sé.
Mira, el proceso por lo general se tarda de unos 60 a unos 90 días. Cada caso es individual, como todo en la vida, porque hay que hacer una serie de preguntas que determinan la precualificación del paciente. Y eso pues lo haría yo en ese caso. Y es cuando entonces llamaríamos al Estado para someter una solicitud, una aplicación, y entonces le hacen una primera visita inicial, después el departamento de envejeciente le hace otra visita, ya el departamento, como nosotros lo conocemos normalmente, welfare, que es el condado, el county, hace una revisión financiera de los ingresos y las propiedades que sí que tiene, que una gran mayoría sabemos que no lo tiene, y determina si es elegible financieramente. So, hay una elegibilidad médica y hay una elegibilidad financiera para el paciente. Pero para eso estamos nosotros, en este caso yo, para trabajar directamente con la comunidad y con las personas que lo necesitan, hacerle todas esas preguntas, algo más personal, ayudarle paso a paso. Si no hablan inglés, con gusto, pues nosotros le ayudamos. Yo también tengo un asistente que me ayuda con todo el proceso. Nosotros le ayudamos con el papeleo y con todo.
O sea, que usted no tiene que preocuparse si no sabe llenar formularios, no. Ustedes van. Pero, ¿y dónde tienen que llamar?
Bueno, me pueden llamar directamente a mí y mi línea directa es el 484-750-2298. 484-750-2298. Esa es mi línea directa. No tienen que marcar ninguna extensión. Yo soy la que le voy a contestar el teléfono y entonces de esta manera podemos empezar el proceso de inmediato.
También yo sé que tú estás en la comunidad y entonces estás en todas las ferias. Dinos un poquito de eso, porque hay compañías que algunas veces hacen ferias o iglesias o lugares donde tú puedes ir. Danos un poquito más de información.
En estos eventos, nosotros hay eventos que son gratis. Solamente pedimos los permisos o nos extienden la invitación. Pueden llamarme al mismo número. Yo con gusto pues le paso eso al manager o a la encargada de autorizarnos a estar presente en los festivales, en las iglesias, en diferentes eventos que se dan alrededor de la comunidad. Y lo que hacemos es llevar una mesa con varios artículos que nosotros regalamos a las personas que llegan allí y que pongan una firmita de su información para nosotros darle una llamadita y proveerle más información y educarlos.
Alfa López, señoras y señores, ella está aquí en la comunidad para ayudarlos, ¿ok? Ella va a repetir el nombre de la compañía, ella va a repetir los teléfonos y cómo usted puede comunicarse con ella. Estén atentos, mis señores y señoras.
Es All American Home Care. Estoy ahí trabajando con ellos, ayudando a mi comunidad, ayudándolo a cada uno de ustedes, especialmente nuestros envejecientes que necesitan cuidado en el hogar. una persona que le ayude a fregar, una persona que le ayude a limpiar, una persona que lo ayude. Hay personas que no pueden ni siquiera bañarse por sí solo, que le ayuden a bañarse, a vestirse, que le hagan compañía, que le preparen esa comidita que a usted le gusta. Alguien que esté pendiente de usted, como dije anteriormente, puede ser un familiar, puede ser un amigo, alguien de confianza, o puede ser alguien de la agencia, una cuidadora de la agencia que tenga la experiencia para atenderlo. Y mi línea directa es el 484-750-2298, 484-750-2298. Esa es mi línea directa, no necesitan extensión y yo le puedo dar toda la información que usted necesita.
¿Y si ellos quieren más información por website o tiene algún website que pueden ir?
All American Home Care, pueden buscarlo en Google, allamericanhomecare.com, y ahí está toda la información que ellos necesitan.
Ahí lo tienen, señoras y señores. Si ustedes quieren realmente ayudar a su familiar, llamen al teléfono
484-750-2298.
Y Alfa, yo le aseguro que dará un buen servicio. Alfa, gracias por estar en Charla Comunitaria. Es un placer.
Gracias a ti por la invitación. Muchas gracias. Gracias.
Están escuchando Charla Comunitaria. Esta es Aurea Ortiz.
If you enjoyed this program, you can hear this episode and more, along with our other public affairs programming at WDIY.org, on WDIY's free mobile app, on your favorite podcast platform, or live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WDIY.